While some people would typically scream in horror at the sight of a ghoulish monster, others get horny at the thought of getting their freak on with a sexy Sasquatch, assimilating with a Borg queen, or getting the D from the creature of the Black Lagoon. Today, it's a special Gal Pal Power Hour with Wonkette's Robin Panacchia and The Onion's AV Club, Katie Reif. Listen as we take a look at the weird and wonderful world of sexy monsters and alien erotica. Plus, the Mothman comes to Chicago, and former dating columnist Julia Allison says Sex and the City ruined her life. Don't let it ruin yours. I'm Fausto Fernos, and this is Feast of Fun. A note before we begin, there were some audio issues with the first few seconds of recording during the podcast. They've seemed to have resolved themselves, so thank you for your patience. Okay, folks, get ready. Robin Panacchia, the brilliant, the fabulous, the talented, and visually stunning human being who writes for Wonkette is on today's Feast of Fun.
Woo! Woo! Hello!
Joined by her gal pal, Katie Reif, news editor for The Onion's AV Club. Also equally stimulating.
I was going to say, I am very stunning.
Yes. We are equally visually stunning angels of human beings.
Yes. We just blind people. Mm-hmm.
But don't forget who really is gorgeous.
Me!
Welcome. It's so good to see you both. You guys are so wonderful voices in journalism here in Chicago, the Windy City. And you guys have spent your whole lives exploring the strange, the exotic, the macabre.
True.
Of
yes,
celebrity.
True.
And before we get into
weird corners
Julia,
of the internet. Yeah.
Before we get into Julia Allison's confession that Sex and the City ruined her life,
girl,
which I think is a brilliant article there, you're obsessed, Katie, about the Mothman.
Oh, we're doing it right up top. Right. Well, before I came here, I was at CAKE, the Chicago Alternative Comics Expo. It's at the Center on Halsted, I guess the LGBT community center in Chicago. And I was there and somebody was selling prints of the Mothman, which is a legend from West Virginia, where I lived when I was like a teenager in college. Which is like a 9 foot tall man with giant moth wings and glowing red eyes who like hypnotizes you with his glowing red eyes. But there's no jobs in West Virginia anymore, so he moved up to Chicago.
Are you serious? Like, that people don't talk about Mothman in West Virginia anymore?
Well, they have a Mothman festival in West Virginia, and it's like a big thing. It's
sure.
They don't have much else going on. They just have this, like, cryptozoology thing. But, yes, more recently, he's been spotted up here. So I like
to stole him.
I like to think that he followed me. He saw that I was thriving in Chicago and decided to move up here.
So has he ever actually done anything to anyone?
Supposedly, he made a bridge collapse in like the 50s or something in West Virginia.
Damn,
that's what the movie The Mothman Prophecies is about.
I have never actually seen that.
It's pretty good. It's not great.
So the Mothman, for people who are more versed in Latino culture, is the chupacabra for the Appalachian folks.
That's pretty much what it is. Yes.
And for those who don't know what a chupacabra is, comes from Mexican folklore, La Lechuza, which is a supernatural being like a vampire, only transforms themselves into some sort of fairy, you know, monstrous bat or owl or alien. And so the chupacabra in the 80s, thanks to daytime talk shows like Christina, popularized the idea that there were aliens living amongst us, alien vampires living amongst us in the mountains of Puerto Rico that were not interested in, you know, learning about human beings or sharing their advanced technology with us.
So what do they eat?
They just wanted to eat goat. Well,
they wanted to suck goat's blood.
Oh,
hence the name chupacabra. I mean, just to suck goats.
So they just traveled all the way here to eat some goats.
You know, I mean, I'll go far for a good sushi.
I mean, we all have our things that we like.
To be fair, I mean, you know, I do enjoy a good a goat taco, burrito. Is that how you say it?
Cabrita.
Yeah.
Or cabrito.
Yeah, I enjoy those. So.
You do. So I like, I won't cross that line.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you don't
eat
lamb. Goat?
I'll do lamb. I won't do goat.
Huh.
What about you, Robin?
I will do neither of those things.
What's the weirdest meat you've ever eaten? Or do you just not do weird meats?
I don't do weird meats.
You never even had, like, alligator or anything?
No.
God,
no.
I feel so fucking country right now. No. Just being like, what, no, what you I mean just... you ain't never eaten a squirrel? You know what I mean? Like...
No, I'm just like
in West Virginia, where the Mothman's from. Like we eat squirrels all the time.
What have you, Katie? What have you eaten? You have eaten squirrels, alligators, turtles,
goat. I've never had turtle. I mean, I've eaten like all manner of sea creatures when I lived in Japan. You eat a lot of weird sea creatures.
I've eaten the thing called huitlacoche.
What's that?
Which is rotten. Corn. So
when it's with growing, the mold and
with
stuff?
Mold, it's black. It looks like soil, and
I've
it tastes like soil. It's just
this.
Awful. It's absolutely disgusting. My friend Larry LaFontaine, who's Lola von Miramar, we went to this taco place, and they had huitlacoche tacos. And I'm like, "What's huitlacoche?" And it's like, huitlacoche is Spanish for smut. You know, not porn.
Not porn.
But when fungus grows on corn, it looks this black, weird stuff. And it's a delicacy in Mexico.
Is that where the word smut came from?
Maybe.
Like, was it the corn mold first? And then people
yeah.
It's dirty. Like
it's
mold.
Dirty. Yeah.
So. Oh, I like that.
So we were eating some smut tacos. It wasn't good.
Yeah. But to bring it back around, so the Mothman moved up to Chicago now, and I'm very excited. I get really excited. If anybody ever wants to talk about, like, monsters, I get so excited. I'm like, yes, tell me about it. Tell me about all the weird creatures where you're from.
Don't believe in these monsters.
No.
You're just hoping that you're wrong.
No, it's just a fun story. It's just a fun, like, spooky little story. Like,
But you're hoping that you're wrong, and someday you'll be visited by a horny beast who will make love to you at night and...
Oh, God.
Be like, finally, true love.
And I have a soft spot for the Mothman, too, because when I was in college, I worked at this video store in Athens, Ohio. What's up? And every Saturday, this gentleman would come in, and he would rent anal porn, because we rented porn at my store. And we had VHSs of porn, and so we got a lot of weird people coming in out the hollers, because they only had VHS players, because they were, you know... lived in dire poverty or, you know, whatever. and so this guy would come in every Saturday and always rent, you know, like, you know, juicy ass eight or whatever. He'd always rent a straight anal porn. And,
this is heterosexual porn.
Yes.
With the women,
women getting it in the butt. Yeah.
Okay. Clarify for the gay.
Yes.
Yes. I realized I needed to clarify that.
95% gay men going, what's that like?
Ladies with big butts getting it in the butt.
Oh.
So he'd rent that every Saturday, and then he thought that the Mothman lived in his yard, and he would tell me stories about the Mothman being in his yard and how he would be sitting in his house, like in his Lazy Boy or whatever, and feel like the Mothman calling to him from the yard, like psychically. Mm. Then he'd go out in the yard and he'd see the Mothman, and he'd wake up and like in the yard like hours later and it peed his pants, and he'd tell me stories like this the time. And then one day he says to me, my kids, they're going to put me away. Like, they're going to send me back to, like, the mental hospital or whatever. And I never saw the dude again.
Poor guy.
So either his kids put him in a mental institution or the Mothman finally got him. One of the two.
Yeah.
So watch out, folks, if you're coming home from the bars.
So he's one of my favorite cryptoids because of that.
You have
like,
a personal connection
yes.
to him.
Yes.
He may have murdered the weird porn guy.
The sweet old man just wanted to sit in his house and watch ladies get it in the butt, but the Mothman kept calling to him from the woods.
I'd be terrified of being visited at night by some supernatural being.
He was convinced. He seemed like really, really convinced. He thought this was real. This was really going on in his mind.
And do you know, or you yourselves, could you confess to this? Because I know some people who are like, you know, I know some gay guys who sleep with their door unlocked and they have a circle of friends. if they're horny, they can just break into their house.
Creep in?
This is white privilege.
No shit.
Black folks are not going to be doing this, but white guys, some white guys that I do know, leave their back door open, and if you want to come in and fuck them up the ass, no questions asked, you can do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be terrifying for me because I grew up in Puerto Rico and we had bars on our windows, and somebody breaking into your house in the middle of the night is usually they're out to kill you or steal something.
No,
fuck
no.
I like as my a woman, windows.
Yeah. Like, as a woman, I'm really into locked doors.
Yeah, I lock doors, I lock windows, I, like, yeah, I...
I also no don't want to ever be surprised by that. Like, Jesus, like, what if... You know,
I mean,
well, this is an interesting part of the human psyche, because I do believe that before we had science to kill God, basically, we believed in angels and demons. Mm-hmm. And now that we live in primarily a world that's based on knowledge and science and the idea that you need information to make some sort of decision on things. Aliens or these, you know, chupacabras have replaced the demons and angels that are part of the human psyche.
Yeah, kind of. But you can kind of like bullshit a pseudoscientific, like, quote unquote explanation for
it. Well, like, the chupacabra isn't, you know, a demon. He is an alien from another planet flew to Earth, you know, to suck on goats.
because goat blood is the best blood in the galaxy. No better blood than goats. But there was a Mothman sighting in Pilsen in May. I'm really excited. If you Google like Mothman map Chicago, there's a Google map that you can look at that they update it every time somebody sees it.
So now this is
it's
a serious
just a fun
thing.
Little thing
so,
for
like,
me.
Are
I
these
enjoy
people
it.
From your area? Like, because like if I I would not recognize. I would be like, oh, hey, it's the Mothman.
Well, they're all like gigantic moth-like humanoid, and then all the like people that are really into the. Like,
no,
giant,
I mean,
shadowy thing with red eyes.
Cape walking around, you know.
Well, do you... Glowing red eyes, though?
Depends on how much I've had to drink.
Now, the... what is it? In the 1980s, there was a short-lived TV series called Beauty and the Beast.
Oh,
with Linda Hamilton.
Where they lived in the sewer.
Yeah.
Lived in the sewer.
Yes.
And women were falling in love with the idea of falling in love with a monster. and so the idea is that, you know, developing this idea of developing a relationship with somebody that
kind
is
of
free
like
from the rules of
Barbara
reality.
Barbara Streisand monster.
Yeah.
Or Oscar winning film, The Shape of Water. That's what that's about.
Yeah.
Fucking a fish man and falling in love with the fish man.
What's the sexual attraction of wanting to fall in love with a monster?
I mean... Maybe you're like, men are trash. Anything could be better. Anything could be better than a human man.
Yeah.
Because I believe like E.T. in some ways is a you know, latent homosexuality of a teenage boy.
Have you seen the E.T. porn?
Yes, I have.
Thanks
to anything, everything is terrible. Yeah. About E.T. But E.T.'s heterosexual in that porn.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
And, there, you know, the idea of E.T. touching the boy's finger to heal him, in some ways, it's not just the finger of God touching man, but it's two penises touching each other.
It's going for some beautiful, like, it heals your soul, Elliot, and you're like, it's dicks.
It's dicks. If you search on the internet, like, E.T. is this, like... You know, primal idea of like a young boy's first love.
Now I'm thinking
exploring with his sexuality and his body.
Now I'm thinking of E.T. with like dicks for fingers.
Well, and in E.T., he bonds so closely with Elliot that there's a scene where E.T. is watching a movie, gets sexually aroused, and Elliot grabs a girl and kisses her.
Wow,
there is
a
scene.
A long time.
I never thought of this interpretation of E.T., but like. I like it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since I was like 8, so I couldn't tell you.
The movie used to scare me, and so I used to want to watch it all the time because that's the kind of child I was, and adult I am.
Who's the sexiest like supernatural monster? Like who's besides Dracula? I mean, that's kind of given.
I mean, like, the werewolf is a very sexual kind of monster, right?
The creature of the Black Lagoon.
Oh,
zombie,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I've really got nothing.
You know one monster that people forget about is the fembots in like the movie Metropolis. It's this idea of like our man's complicated relationship with technology is that he wants to stick his dick in his favorite car or iPod or computer, but eventually that machine will grow so powerful that it unbalances the duality of male and female relationships. That finally, to be a patriarch in a patriarchy means to have a guilty conscience over oppressing women, and that technology being this feminine archetype, this feminine avatar, is going to get even with you. And so,
Like the movie Ex Machina. Did you ever see that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Terminator films, it's revealed that the intelligence that developed the monsters and all the stuff in the Terminator is female.
Oh. Or just straight up fear of women.
Fear of women.
Yeah.
Basically. Which is what most things are based on.
Yeah.
Because we're terrifying.
But I mean, you know, when people start making sex robots and stuff, like, whatever, like creature, gender, whatever, any configuration of parts you want. Like,
well, they're already making sex robots, and there was like an outcry for a hot minute because one of the new sex robots that they made is one that can, like, have conversations and eventually like develop their own personality, and all the men are like, no, we don't want that.
We don't want that.
They don't want the robot to talk.
Yeah, well, they do, but
they don't want it to have its own thoughts.
Yeah. Apparently it's supposed to be like a technology that like, you know, sort of like develops or something. And they're like, no.
It is nice to be able to turn off the, you know, when you're done having sex, just, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to feed it. You don't have to talk to it. Yeah. You don't have to care.
You just put on some grubby sweats and watch TV.
We all been in that situation, you know. He's like, I like the sex, but your personality stinks.
I don't know. I'm just an asshole about that. I'm going to go to sleep now. You should go.
Yeah.
So you're not blaming it on them. You're owning it. Yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just like, I make some excuse about how, like, I can't sleep when another person's in the bed or whatever. But it's not true at all. Like, I can sleep just fine with another person in the bed.
Just not that particular person.
Just not you.
Yeah.
At IML, the International Mr. Leather Conference, that is always the cutting edge of sex toys.
Oh my God, I know where you're going with this.
I meant to go, and I missed it this year.
And this year, they had one of my favorite things that they have is, and this I see this technology advancing, it's not the idea of building a dildo that is attached to a person and it's giving you pleasure. It's just this box that has a very sophisticated arm that comes in and out, and you attach your favorite penis to it and you get fucked all you want for as long as you like, you know.
Sure.
And I'm like, this is where, you know,
the arm is inside of the box. Then when you turn it on, it like pokes out.
It's like a KitchenAid mixer and about the same price. But instead of making cakes, it gives you orgasms.
Oh, sure.
You know, and in the past, they used to put it in this very unflattering light. And
so
now they have a
hand job.
It's kind of, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm doing it with my arm. It's like, but the problem with doing a machine is that it's going to hurt you.
Yeah. Because
the machine doesn't know. So now they're building.
Yeah, that's true. And you're like leaning down to turn it off. And you're like, ow, 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 ow.
So this thing has like more, I guess I'm not sure how to describe it, but it has more mechanisms to not kill you.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God.
If it's fucking you
in
the ass.
Not just fuck you into jelly, huh?
And they have this like the strobe light and this like black lighting.
Whoa.
And
what is it, a strobe light?
And techno music. Like, this is the future of sex.
That is too much ambiance for masturbation. That's like,
what?
I gotta show it to you because it's like, it's crazy.
Because I can't quite figure. It's a box and there's like a hand inside the box, and then you put the penis inside the box, like dick in a box.
It reminds me.
There's a hand in there.
It reminds me of like when you were like in elementary school and it'd be Halloween and they would have the thing that was like, ooh, what's in the box? It's eyeballs. But it was like peeled grapes. You know what I mean? That's what I'm picturing. Is like you stick your hand in a box, but instead of like Jello, it's the thing that fucks you. Like,
No, I'm trying to find the video folder in my phone. And I can't find it anywhere. It's just basically like, think of it as a dildo, and it's going, moving back and forth.
Right.
Only with, futuristic music.
Yeah.
What did you think? Because I said IML, you got excited, so something was in your head.
Oh, what did I think you were? I thought you were referring to the booth they have at IML every year where they have, like, replica, like, whale and dolphin.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of different animals. And they have an alien dildo, and they have, like, a unicorn dildo, and they have all these different, like, fantasy creature dildos. Fucking monsters is totally a thing. It's not my thing, per se, but, like, there is
totally
a community.
It's for other people. Yes.
Yes. Well, the guy who runs the booth, we interviewed him one time for the podcast, and he's very attractive.
Yeah.
And part of it is, like, I think you're going to have a successful, animal/alien dildo, monster dildo company. Mm-hmm. The face of the company, the booth babe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Needs to be somebody you can, like, transpose your desire to have sex with the Loch Ness monster.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Into this guy. And he's tall, and he's kind of weird, and...
Of course.
He speaks with awkward pauses. It's like, I sell this whale dildo, and it's quite big. I said, how did you guys actually cast this thing? Did you? Well, some of them are actual casts, but a lot of them are just artist interpretation. So, Robin, I'm really delighted by this article that you shared by someone named Julia Allison.
Speaking of monsters.
Yes. Yeah.
Monsters. Ayo. Why is Julia... So she says that Sex and the City, the movie Sex and the City, ruined her life, and that had she not been persuaded by the film Sex and the City, instead of being a woman in journalism, she would be married and happily with kids somewhere else.
I wouldn't say she's a woman in journalism. She had like a... So, I mean, neither am I. I wouldn't say I am either. I write funny political shit.
You ask questions and you write things about those questions you've asked.
No, she wrote a dating column.
Own it, honey. Own it.
Oh, my God.
A lot depends on if you draw a fine line between blogging and journalism, which some people do. And I respect that because journalism is all about, following up with sources and beating the pavement and, original reporting. And blogging is less so.
I make jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, I look stuff up. I do a lot of research, but,
I don't do a whole lot of original reporting. But I do mostly, I don't know. Would you consider a review?
Yeah, I would.
Original reporting? Oh,
yeah.
Well, then I'm a reporter.
You are.
You're Lois Lane, honey.
Oh, thank you.
But,
but people, in some ways, they don't like activists, and they're taught to hate on journalists.
Oh, well, that's America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not brainy people. And so Julia Allison, she's right now just saying that being a journalist and Sex in the City, ooh, yucky, yucky, yucky. How dare you, Sarah Jessica Parker, ruin these young women's lives?
No, I don't think she's saying that. I think she's saying that she was, decided that she was going to be Carrie Bradshaw. And...
Because she saw the HBO series as a young woman.
She's like, I watched Sex in the City, so then I decided to be Carrie Bradshaw. And completely base my entire life on being Carrie Bradshaw, which is a weird thing to do. And then she's like, surprise, it didn't work out for me.
Yeah.
And,
you can really insert a lot of, I decided that I was going to be Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld, and it didn't work out. So, fuck you, Elaine Bennis, you ruined my life. You could insert a lot of things into this article.
Well, I watched Batman and Robin, and there was the circus scenes were so inspiring to me that it got me into wanting to go to circus art school.
Uh-huh.
True story, right?
Wow.
And so for a long time, I was doing an aerialist act and stilt walking and all this
stuff.
Really?
That's so cool.
That is amazing.
25 years ago, so a long time ago. And part of me is art and culture can inspire us to do exciting new things in our lives.
Sure.
So there's nothing wrong with watching, RuPaul's Drag Race and say, I want to be a drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
Or watching Great British Bake Off and say, I want to be a baker.
I do make more cakes ever since I started watching Great British Bake Off.
My figure. Oh, no.
Oh, well. Yeah. Oops.
Oopsies. Oops, I forgot to diet.
I've made more sugar-free Jell-O dessert. You see this chocolate cake?
Yeah.
2 calories.
A lot
with NutraSweet.
A lot of light cottage cheese. cheese and iceberg lettuce.
Ew.
Oh, I know. You hate cottage cheese. You think it's the grossest thing.
It is the grossest thing.
I can make you a chocolate cake with frosting that is rich in protein and has zero sugar, and you will blow your head. Like, you'll just... You won't believe it.
What's it made out of?
Or is I that use a secret? The secret
is it carob? Is it carob? It's carob.
Not carob. It's actual chocolate, baby. Okay. Oh yeah, we use use cocoa powder that doesn't have sugar in it, and you use Jack Daniels. That's from another guest that was here. Sweeteners. There are a lot of sugar alcohols and things like that are really convincing and bake very well and. You'd be surprised, you know?
Like that new ice cream they have now that's like 300 calories a pint. And I always just take that as an invitation. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No strings attached. And for me, it's like I'm somebody who one day will be diabetic. Both of my parents became diabetic. So the idea of like eating ice cream that has no sugar in it or learning how to cook or make desserts that have no sugar in it or like making lemonade with realistic. Now, the problem with that is if you consume too much of that, it gives you diarrhea.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Do you guys remember in the 90s when P&G put out those chips?
Alestra.
Yes. And they made you shit your pants.
Wow.
And they had to put out like a... Because I'm from Cincinnati and where P&G is headquartered. And so it was like this huge scandal in all the newspapers about how Alestra made you shit your pants, basically.
Do you remember what the brand name of it was?
No.
Wow. I'm shitting in my pants. Literally, it was wow.
Wow.
Wow. That didn't last too long.
Wow. I had to... No, like, and I remember the company literally said something like, you might want to wear dark-colored clothing when you're first figuring out Alestra.
There is a product
or that
still.
Ally,
you're
going to
shit your pants.
Was it Ally, that diet pill or whatever that makes people shit their pants?
Well, like sugar-free gummy bears, there's still a warning on them because they're delicious. don't eat the whole bag because you will shit your pants.
They're actually the only kind of gummy bears that are actually good because they're cold. I don't know.
You like sugar-free gummy bears that are really ice cold?
No, like they taste cold.
Sure. They taste cold?
Yeah.
They feel colder than regular.
Yeah.
Okay, Robin, here's a phone number.
No, not like temperature-wise. No, it's like a thing.
Do you taste things that are cold? Call 1-800.
It's like the sugar-free hard candies. They taste cold.
Can you taste cold and can you feel... Do you have that synesthesia thing?
I don't.
Where you like smell the color orange or whatever?
I'm on acid right now. I'm microdosing. Everything's a little bit intoxicated. Do you guys believe in microdosing LSD? I had a coworker come up to me and like, I'm microdosing on LSD right now. And I'm like, okay, good thing we don't have the medical profession here.
Well, the basic idea is you take such a small amount that you don't really register it in your consciousness, right?
Yeah.
LSD seems a little crazy. Like mushrooms, I kind of get it because just like a little teeny little tiny nibble of a psychedelic mushroom, you'd be like, wow, I'm having a great day. You know, you would just be like, wow.
I just don't want to be high at work.
Yeah. No,
definitely not.
That's the worst
experience.
I
only took acid once and then my mom told me I wasn't allowed to take it again because I told her that she was a beautiful person.
And she's like, bitch, you have to be on drugs.
You're high as a kite.
No, she was like, Robin, I know you did acid last night and you are never allowed to do it again because we do not call people beautiful people in this family.
Seriously?
Yes.
So wow.
You are not allowed to ever say that anyone is like a really beautiful person.
Oh, that kind of makes me a little sad.
My mom lived through the 60s, so she had enough of that already.
I see.
She was like, I am a person. I'm neither beautiful or ugly. I'm just here.
It wasn't a love makes you weak kind of thing.
Yeah, no.
It is interesting when you're like high or drunk, you know, when you get drunk with your parents and your parents aren't drunk and you're like, I love you, mom. I love you, dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, ugh.
Yeah.
They're like, shut up.
Yeah. I'm a very lovey drunk. When I get drunk, I just want to tell everyone how wonderful they are and how I'm so happy we're friends.
We should get drunk together and say, yeah, I love you.
Margaritas for everybody.
Just be disgusting. Hey, like, you're the best.
I know this has been a bad year with Trump, but something good just happened. Letters ERA. Just passed in Illinois.
Yes, it did. Yes.
What does that stand for?
Well, Equal Rights Amendment. But the thing is, it's like many years past the deadline for women.
Everybody.
Yes. The
if you identify as women, you're equal as just anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, I forget what the exact text is. You'd think I'd have this memorized by now. But it hasn't, you know. I don't know. It's just basically like can't discriminate against people on the basis of sex. Ta-da! But it was so crazy that they were like, "Oh no, we cannot pass that."
This is a bit something that's been discussed for almost 100 years.
Yeah, 1920.
Really?
Yeah,
they've been trying to pass an equal rights amendment of some kind on a federal level for the past 100 years.
Well, like,
just basically ensuring that men and women are treated equally in the workplace.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, this is the thing. It was a little bit more complicated than that to begin with. Like, there was actually a big disagreement between feminists about passing it because basically, like, the middle class, it was something that was sort of like pushed by, like, the, you know, fancy middle class feminists who didn't have to work for a living. And the women, like the working class feminists, were kind of like, hey, this is going to actually, this might actually screw with like protections that we fought for. Mm. Like in terms of like just like labor practices and work hours and that kind of thing. And that's actually why Eleanor Roosevelt was opposed to it.
So she was worried that that progress that had been made, for example, in guarantee like a 40-hour work week,
would be undone. Wasn't guaranteed at that point
by the Equal Rights Amendment. How so would it?
I'm honestly like not entirely sure, but they felt like that it was going to put that at risk. And so it wasn't really until the 1960s when places were more unionized and like worker protections were sort of like guaranteed for everyone that all the feminists were like, okay, cool, we're on board with this now. Like, they thought it could have been used to take away a lot of, like, labor.
So you all have the right to be slaves.
Yeah. So then, by, like, you know, 60s, 70s, everyone was on board. 72, like, everyone just thought it was going to get passed because it was, like, you know, whatever.
It was a done deal.
Then pops up Phyllis Schlafly.
Boo!
Yes, who went around, traveled around the country telling other women to stay home and was like, listen, we can't pass the ERA because then no women won't be allowed to be housewives anymore. And so then all these bitches, like, showed up with, like, pies. I have a place and they had these, like, mom and apple pie.
You're fucking kidding me.
Yeah, and they would, like, give out people pies.
I love being oppressed. Have some pies.
Yes.
Well, and if you're being oppressed, at least you have some pie. That's not a bad
both.
I'm like, you know, if I'm starving to death, like at least I have an apple pie.
We can have pie and equal rights.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
¿Por qué no los dos?
So like, so like everyone had like that had been like previously super neutral and like, oh, whatever, let's just pass it on it. We're like, oh no, this is a bad thing. Let's not do this. And so several states actually reversed, and we still don't know if they can do that legally, but several states actually reversed their support of the ERA, and the Republican Party took it out of their platform where it had been since, 1940.
Oh, wow.
And that's like, you know, part of their whole like evolution into like the party of crazy we see today.
Yeah. I hate that. Like well, Lincoln was, it's the most aged. Yeah. It's just really is showing that you don't know a single thing about history.
Next time says someone says to you, Lincoln was a Republican.
Yeah.
Respond by saying, well, Planned Parenthood was started by Republicans.
There you go.
So, well, they, you know, hey, Bush, the first, his nickname in Congress was Rubbers. Cause he loved condoms so much.
The original but Bush.
He was super, super pro-birth control and super pro-choice. Then, like, you know, the Jesus people came along and he was like, oh, yeah, I figured it out. Abortion's bad.
Yeah.
So, where can we leave here with... I mean, I guess there's not much to say with about Dora Leake and Sex and the City ruining her life, but...
Julia Allison.
Julia Allison, the writer, yeah.
It's silly. Like, no, it didn't ruin your life. It's weird to begin with to, like, base your entire, like, existence on wanting to be a fictional character anyway. It's like...
And it's the most... Know. When I was reading it, I was just like, this is the most privileged thing I've ever heard. Yeah. You're like, I wasn't really, like, famous socialite, and some people were mean to me.
Gawkers!
And you're like,
said I was a fame whore. Even though that's like, what else was she? I don't know. Like, that's fine. Be a fame whore. You can't be like,
yeah, it's
what's
like,
wrong with being a fame
whore? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, well, if that's what you actually do. That's what
I've
you
been accused
do.
Of being a fame whore, and I know actual fame whores. And
yeah, I know. There's a few big difference. People.
I'm not famous enough to know any fame whores.
Oh, I know a couple people. I know a couple people who, if you are talking to them and someone more famous walks in the room, poof, they're gone. They want to go talk to somebody more famous, like.
And but you know, we hang out enough. I'm kidding.
There's
the same amount of famous.
No. I meant like if someone else, you know, say like if Stevie Nicks walked into the room, I'd be like, hold on, Katie.
I would never forgive you if Stevie Nicks walked together. In the room and we didn't go talk to her.
No, we would go together.
Everybody's famous to somebody.
Yeah, true.
And somebody who works in journalism to cover entertainment, like my friend Jerry Nunn, who writes for the Chicago Tribune. He is somebody who's like, I know, Foster, we were planning on having dinner together, but Dolly Parton is downtown.
Okay. Listen.
Also, a foolproof excuse.
And I'm that like, that's fair. Cool with me.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I would be so mad if someone, if my friend was like, oh, I could have gone to hang out with Dolly Parton.
But here's, but let's rephrase this question. I know I was going to have dinner with you,
yeah.
But Miss Vanjie is going to be meeting me backstage. And you're like, who?
Yeah, I don't know who that person is.
Exactly.
But it was
Miss Vanjie?
Miss Vanjie. Miss
Vanjie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like...
I mean...
Would you be mad or would you still be like...
I would... I would just be mad if you didn't send me a picture of you with Miss Vanjie.
Yeah. I was meeting, let's go down the ecosystem to the least popular celebrity that you're willing to break
Ted
an appointment.
Nugent. If you were dishing me to hang out with Ted Nugent, we would not be friends anymore, but that's because it's Fred Ted
but
Nugent.
But it was Ted Nugent.
Sean
and
Hannity.
I get sometimes criticized for that. Like, sometimes we almost had the former mayor of Minnesota on the show. I forget his name. The wrestler.
Jesse Ventura.
So we were this close, and I just casually talked about it on the podcast, and some people were like, you are not having Jesse Ventura on the show. And I was like, well, he put out an interesting book that, and I thought it would be an interesting guest. I'm not going to be like, I mean, we've had, you know, Shirley Phelps on this program. From the Westboro Baptist Church. And it was actually a really interesting podcast, and it's not like we were... You know, advancing her right or her platform or her hate. And it was actually a really interesting conversation on how they came to be this monstrous organization today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was really strange, to say the least. So I understand when somebody says, I need to break my date for my job. But another thing is like somebody who is so obsessed with people they perceive to be famous. But if they're a person who is an artist or a creative person, they don't perceive to be famous. They don't have any value on them.
Yeah.
And that turns me off a lot. And then a lot of these so-called fans of drag are really fans of Drag Race. And I call them celebrity whores because they're not really interested in the drag queens. They're interested in the person because they're on television.
And even like, and it seems to me like in the more recent seasons of Drag Race, there's this sort of like loop happening where people are famous on Instagram. So they get on Drag Race, then they're more famous on Instagram. And then it like,
it's a feedback loop of mediocrity. And you're like, why were we interested in you in the first place? I don't know. Maybe it's because you have money to buy expensive wigs and costumes. But when those things are stripped away from you, you're just a a person with a hot glue gun.
That's how I feel about the lady that wrote this Sex and the City article. She kept mentioning these things about, like these offhanded comments about, like, I was barely making enough money to pay the my $2,500 a month rent, and I'm just like...
Yeah.
When holy shit.
Yeah,
don't tell me that you did not have any... I don't know. The whole thing just reeks of, like, it's like when rich people talk about being broke, you're like, yeah, okay, like, your parents are going to bail you out. Yeah, it's like the most, it's so privileged. Like, the whole article is so privileged.
What was it, 8 months in Bali for a spiritual retreat?
Yes, because she was so upset because people were so mean to her on Gawker. She went to Bali for 8 months.
Yeah.
Her life was seriously ruined. I don't know if you knew that.
Is Bali a good place to go if you're having a nervous breakdown?
I'd like to go to Bali. I don't know. I
don't think it would be a good place to go because just the flight alone would be stressful. You know?
Yeah. No.
True. True.
Like, if you really need, if you're having a spiritual crisis,
where do you go?
I just take a nap. Same. You know what I'm saying? Like my bed.
I go to the bar next door.
Or the beach, or, you know, I guess a hotel would be nice, but traveling so far away would be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still not over it. I take a nap. I'm still not over it.
RuPaul is in hot water once again, this time with Azalea Banks. Azalea is claiming that Ru stole her songs.
To which, well, when you were telling us about this topic before the show, Rob and I were both like, which one is she again?
It's not Iggy Azalea from Australia. So you have to be like, is that the black one or the Australian one? Is that the one that was bisexual who said anti-gay stuff or the one who wanted to sing at Trump's inauguration? And you're like...
Legit, though, which one is it? Like, I'm not sure.
Azalea Banks wanted to sing at Trump's inauguration.
Okay.
She's African-American.
Okay.
Identifies as bisexual and got into a fight on Twitter calling a string of slurs to another openly gay musician, which got her banned off of Twitter permanently.
Good.
So then now she's claiming that RuPaul stole one of her songs.
Oh, yeah?
And, you know.
Is it one of the, like... You listen to them side by side?
Like, yeah, I tried to, and I posted this on our forums, and people are like, yeah, it definitely the first, like, couple minutes, there is a similarity to this. Mm-hmm. The tracks are, what is it here? It's from the Mother, Call Me Mother from American, RuPaul, mm-hmm. and Azalea Banks, The Big, Big Beat.
Okay.
And I'm not going to play them on the show because, you know...
Right.
I don't want to. We probably should have, but I'm just like, eh. And so people are saying, like, on the forums, and I'll read you some of this stuff.
Okay.
David writes, you know, the songs really are similar. It's funny. I love Azalea's music, and Call Me Mother is the second Ru song I actually liked after Sissy That Walk. David, you have terrible taste in music. But so now it all makes sense to me. Of course, Ru likely had no idea about any of this. I'm sure either his songwriters or producers knew. And Ray Garcia says, my sentiments exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, do we think that RuPaul actually wrote this song? Like, I don't
know.
I think Ru definitely has a, you know,
oh,
talking
like
to Ru
and
people.
Like,
he, you know, kind of like the notes for this podcast,
yeah.
He shows up to the recording studio and says, I want to write a song about Glamazon, and, you know.
Yeah.
And then they work from there.
Exactly. Like, it's not like he's sitting there at the piano and like...
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Now Sissy That Walk.
I bet Sissy That Walk on piano.
It
like
might
a,
be.
What if he did like one of those like the whitest thing on earth, which is like a slow cover of like a dance song.
Well, after we're
like,
done, I'll play
like
it
a
for
slow
you.
Acoustic guitar.
There's
yeah.
a piano
Sissy
there.
That Walk.
I'll do you the acoustic instrumental Spanish version of Glamazon.
Oh my God, please.
Yes.
Do you want
yes.
me to sing a little bit?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
¿Quién es ella, muchacha misteriosa? Ven a bailar, ven a gozar. Sashe, shante, pantera en la pista. Vamos, vamos, oh, las muchachas. Bienvenidos a la selva. Es preciosa, tan bella. Es una muchacha fenómena. Glamazona, muchacha. Phenomena, Glamazona, nana. There you
Yay!
Go.
Yay!
You're welcome.
That was great.
RuPaul. But now you can do it and sell the song in Mexico.
What I was going to say about RuPaul, though, is, like, yeah. I feel like RuPaul is... I mean, unless this is just a thing for TV and, like, and he's not, like, as upfront in his, like, you know, non-TV
life. That's the copyright police coming for us right now.
But, I feel like if RuPaul did steal it, like, RuPaul is just so upfront about, like, product placement and, like, plugs and all that stuff that he'd be like, yeah, I stole that shit. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, when you're dealing with music in this situation, in this scale, they're definitely, you know, just like,
Marvin Gaye, Blurred Lines.
Yeah.
So, you know, Azalea Banks could sue RuPaul and get some money out
of it. That's true. So Ru can't really make a shtick out of it. It's a very expensive joke.
It's really like the title of the show, Untucked, came, you know, we... said Untucked would be a good title for that show at the time before it was announced. The first season of Drag Race didn't
have... Yeah, I remember.
Untucked, and we've said a drag queen is anyone who transforms themselves into a beautiful creature of their own imagination. And now RuPaul uses that all the time. So I say to Azalea Banks, your stuff is maybe get stolen. Talk about it with a lawyer. But sometimes you have to come at peace and say, you know, the world culture is built on the shoulders of other people. Mm-hmm. And if people are going to steal things from you, make ideas and music worth stealing.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. That, like, there really is nothing new under the sun, so to speak.
But at the same time, you know, if you can write me a check.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
True.
I don't know. What do you guys... now, we can't wrap this up without talking about Roseanne.
Oh, my God.
Hot topic of last week.
Oh, my God.
I made it through the whole week with zero Roseanne op-eds, because I...
Did you just refuse? You were I'm not gonna
do it. I was like, I handled this the entire rest of the time. It's on all, it's on everyone else.
I got so lucky because I was off my usual news duties this week. So I was in Arizona for my sister graduated from veterinary school. She's a doctor now.
Yeah.
So I was kind of watching this on Twitter and just being like, thank God I am on vacation right now. Oh my God.
Well, do you guys want to wait? I think, you know, this is my feeling about it is that, and I think Vince Mancini wrote this as a tweet. This is why you have mom and dad locks on TV and computers to protect impressionable boomers from right-wing media.
Yes, I retweeted that, I think. Yeah, I know. I mean, my thing on the whole thing is that they must have been this close to firing her anyway by how quickly that all happened, because I couldn't believe it. Like
they were just like, no, we're done. Like,
they were we're done. And
do you guys worry that this might set a precedence where some, like Samantha Bee, says something, a progressive voice in media gets fired by saying something questionable
about
a public figure?
Well, there's a huge difference, I think, in, like, between... Can I say the word?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, okay.
What word are you...
There's a huge difference between saying cunt and, like, you know, saying that a black person looks like a monkey. There's, like, a whole world of difference and power, and, like, it's one, you know, powerful white lady calling another powerful white lady a cunt. It's, like, you know, fairly even.
Yeah, I feel like it's really disingenuous because it's usually right-wingers who try to draw, like, a line between the two. Be like, yeah, well, somebody, like, they were also saying, like, well, Bill Maher said that Donald Trump looked like an orangutan. And
it's
like,
the same thing.
No, right, exactly. Like, there is no, like, centuries of history of, you know, Trumps being called orangutans used as an excuse to, like, treat them inhumanely. But, like, you know, the history of saying that, you know, black people are like animals was used to dehumanize them and justify slavery and justify like horrible medical experimentation and all this stuff. And there, like, there is no history behind Samantha Bee and Ivanka Trump. And they, and like Robin was saying, they're on an equal sort of power playing field. And so, like, I just feel like acting like the word itself is completely devoid of its historical and, like, social context is the most disingenuous thing.
Did ABC know what they were getting into?
Oh, absolutely. They absolutely knew about it. It had been discussed at length. Even, I know, like, what's her face, Sarah Gilbert, and other people were saying, well, you know, both of, like, the cast, like, her kids and her real-life kids, or maybe it might have been the other one who said that, Becky, are, you know, working to keep her away from Twitter. And, like, they said
couldn't
that,
they
like,
just
they
have
knew.
A writer on the contract, like, you are not to go on a computer, period.
Like,
and part of me is like, you know, I mean, I guess I have to ask myself, like, ABC knew what they were getting into. Why did they do this project in the first place? Why not just do, like, a spinoff like The Conners or, you know, kill off Roseanne and have all the talented actors
working together?
Well,
they're talking about doing that, although it's, like, complicated because she owns the rights. She and the other guy own the rights. The thing is, it's just, like, they absolutely knew what they were getting into. And she'd also, like, tweeted incredibly, you know, offensive things before then.
She's been on this train
know?
For years.
And, like, while the show was on. But, like, it was this particular thing. It's like, that's just going too far. Like, she was literally, like, they were fine with her. And everyone was either, like, you know, tweeting about her conspiracy theories about Roseanne peeling people's faces off or whatever in a satanic cult. Like, you know, go ahead, Roseanne, go and do.
Oh, you mean her repressed memory stuff from the 90s?
Well, she's a repressed memory person. And then this other woman that she's, like, in cahoots with, Kathy O'Brien, who she, like, went on tour with, is also a repressed memory person. But she's, like, a way, like...
So, wait, let's, like, back up and give a little context.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah, sorry. Okay, so way back in the 90s... Roseanne was one of the people who said, like, oh, I have repressed memories. And my parents molested me in, like, this, like, crazy, crazy way. And, you know, her sisters and, like, other people in her family were like, that 100% did not happen. And you're also saying that stuff happened to us that didn't happen. And, like, this psychiatrist is messing with you.
Because it was a whole thing.
Yeah, it was a whole big thing. Like, she was on TV and everything. And then it, like, you know, there was also a whole thing about, like, you know, these repressed memories being, like, mostly bullshit a lot of the time. Like, yeah, there can be, but, like, not the way that, like, it was happening.
Like, remember the satanic panic in the 80s where everyone was convinced that all the, like, preschools were run by Satanists and the sex cults and stuff?
Barely, no. Yeah.
So that was a whole thing in the 80s, and there were several, like, big scandals about it, and it was all kind of based around these psychiatrists who, as it turned out, were doing what they called, like, a new form of therapy, where they were helping people recover memories that they had suppressed because they were too traumatic. But what they were actually doing is asking very, very leading questions and combining it with hypnosis techniques to convince people that things that didn't actually happen had happened, and they were trying to prove that their technique worked, right? And so they were just like, look, this woman remembered being abused by a satanic sex cult when she was a child, when really they had kind of, like, said,
they had pushed them towards that conclusion. They also, like, put a lot of these women on, like, a ton of drugs and everything. It was extremely abusive. It actually, a lot of it happened in Chicago at Rush. Two of the big people.
Has something similar happened to Roseanne?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Roseanne jumped on that wagon in the 90s. And said, like, that she had went to one of these psychiatrists and had, you know, the quote unquote therapy. And in her therapy, she quote unquote remembered being sexually abused as a child.
Isn't it irresponsible then for someone like Sarah Gilbert and ABC knowing the state of mind of Roseanne?
When the show was first on. Yeah, but, like, I mean, they also, like, her mental illness is well documented. She, you know, says that she has dissociative identity disorder, which is, like, what they call multiple personality disorder now. So she's got, like, issues. But, like, what I was saying, like, you know, she's promoted, you know, all these, you know, completely awful and, you know, terrible things. A lot of it from this Kathy O'Brien lady who says that she was Hillary Clinton's sex slave or something.
Right. Like, now, like, her craziness is taking the form of, like,
racism,
and
you can't go there.
Conspiracy theories.
And they'll let her do the conspiracy theory stuff. But
even,
like,
though that's not disturbing.
No,
to me.
It is. And I think that, like, I honestly think that, like, these people should just have, like, their pants sued off by everyone that they, you know.
So where does this leave it? Like, the actors or the television program, and they invested a lot of money into this series that they're not going to get
back. Give Wanda Sykes her own damn show. Why doesn't Wanda Sykes have a show?
I think Wanda Sykes did have a show. with she and from Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah. She was but
had
she was
a
like,
show together.
Know, yeah, but that was like mostly about Elaine. I want a more
Wanda Sykes show.
Yes.
I want Pootie Tang, the Steepy series, yeah. but starring Wanda Sykes' character in Pootie Tang.
And these are all wonderful actors, and I think that like they could definitely do something else with them that would be amazing and better.
Yeah, like Laurie Metcalf yeah. was in Lady Bird, and yeah. she was so good as the mom in Lady Bird. I was saying they
Give
should
Laurie
just make Lady Bird
yeah.
the movie,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Or Lady Bird the TV series.
I mean,
turn into a TV series.
Just, you know, that she's like the main reason everyone was watching it anyway. Mm-hmm. Like her and John Goodman. Have a show with her and John Goodman. People will be happy.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see that.
To kind of answer your earlier question, in my opinion, I think ABC saw, they thought that they probably, like, they've obviously known Roseanne is kind of nuts for a long time.
Yeah.
Everybody's known this for a long time. And I think they, you know, because they were bringing back all these other sitcoms and it was so popular and they were just like, they thought they could contain it probably and then they couldn't.
Yeah, I think
that's what I think.
I think it just sank in. They were like, you know, and they probably were like, you know, last straw.
This is the last straw.
Yeah, they were on the edge of firing her because it all happened so fast. Like, they pulled Roseanne reruns from syndication and Hulu the same day they canceled the show.
Yeah.
It's
so
not on Hulu anymore.
Not only ruined the future prospects of the reboot, they also took off all the reruns.
Yep.
So it's Roseanne is dead.
Yep, Roseanne is dead. Yeah, it's not even on Hulu anymore. Because
and Roseanne was a progressive character. It was a...
She... Yeah. And
so
that
it's really
was,
it's
I think,
sad. And so was this just a right-wing conspiracy to take off a little bit of our legacy of Roseanne?
Maybe or? That's why they thought it was going to be okay, because she was progressive on the original show. And then when she walks into the room and she has a lot of the power because she owns the rights, they were like, oh, it'll be okay. Like, you know, the TV thing separate from the character, from the real person and all that stuff. And then when they actually got into the making of the show, they went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This isn't going to work. And so they've probably been prepared for a while to pull the plug. And that was the last straw.
Summer is here now. Do you guys have any plans? Any interesting things? Why do you guys like smile at each other?
I love your transition.
We're wrapping things up. Yeah.
I know.
My transitions are famous.
My main thing that I want to do is that I really want to go to the Stevie Nicks pop-up bar before it closes. We need to do that. And
Stevie Nicks has a pop-up bar in Chicago?
No, well,
it's Stevie Nicks themed.
Yeah.
Themed. And so you go in there and it's witchily good?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. It's like tarot cards and like shawls and like...
And the music
stuffed
playing.
Birds and shit. Yeah.
And it's do you like have cocktails
dark.
And stuff?
Yeah,
like
they
that?
Have like Stevie Nicks themed cocktails.
Oh, like what?
I don't know.
The Seven Wonders.
There is one called the Seven
cocaine
Wonders.
Cocaine between your toes.
Yeah. Actually, you could do a Long Island iced tea Seven Wonders, and it's the seven different ingredients in a Long Island iced tea.
Hmm.
Oh.
I'd like to visit a place one time in Long Island. there's a product that's out there on the internet. Everyone's weighing in on floating tents. So forget about, you know, the discomfort of camping on land. You can set up your tent in the lake itself and float away.
You'd wake up over a waterfall, wouldn't you?
That's what I thought.
That would be fear.
I don't camp, so.
It's like an inflatable houseboat, basically.
But
tent
like,
boat.
How do you... No way would that not end in me drowning. Like, there's just no way it wouldn't happen.
Wouldn't you wake up in the morning and be like, shit, we drifted 100 miles downstream in the night.
Don't cut that rope.
Yeah, we don't have a car. Like, you're setting yourself up to get straight up murdered by a wood slasher. It's not good.
But
don't
so
do it.
Camping is on land is okay, but the water
no. Camping on land is bad too.
It's terrible. No, why would you even do that? They have hotels.
We have already established that there are monsters out there.
Well, Southern Illinois
and many
the state of Illinois and in the Missouri border, there's a lot of state parks with cabins and stuff like that. And I guess a lot of senior citizens in Chicago know about this stuff. Right. And so I talked to a lot of seniors and like, what are you guys doing for the summer? They're like, oh, we're going down to McCanda, Illinois, where Mark and I were.
Yeah.
We're going to be camping out. And they have these really nice cabins with air conditioning. They're basically hotel rooms. Just but they're self-enclosed, you know.
But then, like, nature's there. Like,
well, it's not that nature-y. Mm-hmm. Like, there's running water. There's a water heater. I mean, just think of it as a
what
hotel room.
I enjoy looking at nature.
Yeah.
It's just so you're sleeping.
For a short period
of
time, I don't have, like, the patience to sit there and be like, okay. Like, you know, I don't really want to, like, go to, like, the Grand Canyon. What am I going to do? Just like, oh, it's a very big hole. That's nice.
I want to go to the Dells. Like, when Mark gets back, we're going to go to the Wisconsin Dells.
Sounds like you guys go camping a lot.
I, you know,
are
as
you
long
a fan?
No, I like to sleep.
Back to the sleeping.
Yeah,
the
and so we're in a hotel room. I'm happier, but you know, the Wisconsin Dells is like there's like water and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, being out in nature.
Is it an amusement park?
It's kind of there's the amusement parks, you know, rapids and stuff like that. I would spend summers in Texas, and we'd go to Schlitterbaum and Camp Warnke. And people who are listening to this know what I'm talking about. But
it sounds appealingly wholesome.
Yeah,
like kind of like wholesome.
It is. Cute. It's cute. You know. And, you know, as a Puerto Rican kid, I would get to drink Slurpees and eat bubble gum, American bubble gum.
Ooh.
So it was very exciting. And read American comic books. Richie Rich, Archie, and Casper. It never occurred to me that Richie Rich and Casper were the same person just in the afterlife. He had been murdered for his money, and now he's just haunting the world.
Yeah. A friend of mine made a short film. If you Google it, I'm pretty sure you can find it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's so dark. It's called Casper the Beginning. And it's a short film that's a Casper prequel. It's basically kid dying.
With a big head.
Yeah.
He died from an inflamed brain.
Oh my god.
It's really funny. Google
it.
Has
he sent it to Devin Sawa?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about all that. But it's just, I remember seeing it.
The guy who played Casper in the movie.
Like,
he and I talk on Twitter a decent amount.
You have these weird friendships with, you know, obscure celebrities, Robin.
Well, it's not a friendship. We're just
connections, you know. Yeah, like...
Who's the fame whore now,
you know,
Robin?
You know who I'm about to... When we're wrapping this up, Brian Sweeney and I have a date with Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall.
Yay!
It's weird.
That's so fun.
Yeah, so we're going to go meet him and see him. And
I hope
Brian doesn't try to make out with him.
Just tell him I love him.
Just sitting there and rolling your eyes.
I'm like, oh, God. I feel like a chaperone. In the third, you know, like when two people are in love with each other and you're there and you're kind of going, well, this is great. I got to get going.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home alone now. I had such a great time talking to the two of you guys together today. Robin Panacchia,
mm-hmm.
Katie Rice.
Yay.
You guys are such good friends. And thank you so much, Robin, for introducing us to Katie.
Yay.
Yeah, this was Robin's doing. So thank you, Robin, for introducing me.
I bring the world together.
And now the world is a better place. If you want to follow Robin Panacchia, you write for Wonkette.
Yes. I write for Wonkette, Friendly Atheist, Quartz, a bunch of different places these days. And my Twitter is Robin Elise, RobynElyse, all of the Ys. And that's about it.
I like it when you spell your name. It makes me think of, like, a woman visiting her doctor. So, Robyn.
Nice.
I gotta see my Robyn. Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. I like that.
And then Katie, you're the news editor for Onion's AV Club.
Yes, theavclub.com. You will find my byline on there.
And, of course, Everything Is Terrible is still going strong.
It's still around.
Everything is Fabulous. And you're on Twitter.
Yeah. It's my Twitter is Future and then Schlock, like S-C-H-L-O-C-K. Yeah, that's how you spell that. I was like,
very easy to find. And we'll put that up on our website, feastoffun.com. I'm Fausto Furnos. Mark Felian hopefully won't be back for... a long time, because good things are happening.
Yes.
Did you murder him?
I didn't murder him. I can't say what it is, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Fausto is clearly way less terrified of being murdered than we are. So
I know.
I've
lived a full rich life.
To be fair, we are both like pretty preoccupied.
I was not murdered by Robin and Katie. This is not the sequel to Desperate Living. You guys seen that movie? Desperate Living? Yeah. It's one of the greatest films of all time. Thank you so much for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us. Yay!
Bye!
Bye.
Thank you.